From a brief glance at the marquee, it would seem that the film industry has finally learned something that the music industry learned long ago. It's easier to make something Christian than to make something good. Recent releases like Noah and Son of God are clear indicators that Hollywood's jumping on the Jesus bandwagon, and the box office returns would suggest that they're happy they did. Possibly the most egregious of these releases, God's Not Dead, brings us a cast that makes Kevin Sorbo look like a celebrity and a script that makes Ray Comfort seem convincing. To talk us through this testament to credulity is friend of the show Eli Bosnick. Eli, welcome back.
Hey, Noah. Thanks for having me.
So now you actually watched this fucking thing. Is that right?
I did. I have to say, like, we get along, but I'm starting to hate you. It's like the read the Bible and then go see God's Not Dead. The least pleasant experiences of my life have been due to coming on this show.
Now, here's the crazy thing is that it was actually hard for you to watch this, right? Like you tried to watch it in New York and it was sold out.
It was sold out, which depressed me so much. Like I really wanted to convince myself that just like every atheist in New York went and saw it ironically, or at least, you know, just like skeptics, you know, New York City skeptics drinking skeptically, those groups. I just wanted them to be there like Mystery Science Theatering it, but. That was not the case. Bunch of Latin people on church trips. Just the worst.
All right, so let's get right to it. On a scale of 1 to 5 festering piles of armadillo shit, what do you give this movie?
Oh my God, it's the greatest experience you'll ever have as an atheist. It's so bad good. From literally the very first moment to the movie. To the end, it's just terrible choice after terrible choice. 5 out of 5 stars. You cannot miss this movie. You have to see it.
See, now, I have a feeling a lot of our listeners are going to avoid this thing like they would traumatic brain injury. So for those of them who don't take your advice, could you sum up the plot for us? What's going on in this flick?
All right, so we open up. It's about approximately 75 characters, which is part of, I mean, one of the things that's amazing about this movie is it's not just a bad, like, bad apologetics. It's a bad movie. It's bad movie making. There's so many things that you're just like, that's a poor choice. So the main plot line is there's this Christian kid who goes to college. He's got this super smoking hot girlfriend. He's a Christian. And he signs up for this philosophy class and it's this professor who's an atheist. And the professor, the first day, for those of you who haven't seen the trailer, first day is like, hey, this is a philosophy class. We're going to skip over a lot of problems that come with a theistic worldview, which is actually a really good idea. And a lot of professors should do that. God's dead. Write it on a piece of paper because I don't want to bother with it. And the kid just like sad face. Like he can't, he's literally like, it's like the scene from Liar Liar where Jim Carrey's trying to write the pen is blue. He's like, I can't do it. No. So finally, Kevin Sorbo comes up. He's like, what's the problem? And the kid's like, I can't do this. I'm a Christian. And then he turns evil. That's the thing. Every intellectual in this movie is evil. So he's like, well, if you want to believe in God, then you're going to have to defend your thesis. I challenge you to a debate. So he gives the kids 20 minutes in 3 classes to defend that God is not dead.
Hence the title.
There's 2 other main characters. There's a Muslim girl who has secretly become Christian. There's an atheist reporter who works for a newspaper called The New Left. And her plot is just a mess. And then there's a preacher and an African guy who are trying to go to Disneyland.
Are you serious or did you just throw that in?
No, I'm 100% honest about this. A subplot is that there's a preacher from the local town and an African missionary and they're trying to get to Disneyland, but their car keeps breaking down. They go through 3 cars and they all break down. And you know how they get it to start at the end of the movie?
They pray, don't they?
They pray at the star car starts.
Oh, Jesus.
They pray a car starter. This movie. All right. Let me walk you through this movie.
All right.
So the kid goes to registration. First of all, I want to touch on a subject here. It's really important. This is the most racist movie I have seen since Birth of a Nation. This movie is insane. There's a Chinese kid in this movie who is just, I mean, he's everything except like Breakfast at Tiffany's. He's like, oh, so you believe, and I'm also my Asian American friends, like, please don't be offended by this. Go see this movie. Know that I'm not exaggerating. He's like, oh, so you believe your God is a man? He keeps calling his dad in, we assume People's Republic, oh, we know People's Republic of China, because when he registers, the girl that he registers with goes, "What's the PRC?" And he goes, "People's Republic of China." And she goes, "Where's that?" And I'm like, "What the fuck? What do you mean, where's that?
Where's China?
Where's China?" This movie is retarded. It's horrible. So I'll get back to him. There's also, there's just a bunch of little racist moments. First of all, the Muslims in this movie, so the Muslim girl and her dad, they're like the Jews from Passion of the Christ. They could not look more Muslim-y and like hissing, like, it's just so, you know in the first draft of this movie, and if you see this movie, you'll understand, in the first draft of this movie, they were Jews. It's very much like, "Daughter, we worship God in a different way. We only worship our God." You know that in the first draft of this script, they handed it in, and someone in production who isn't a Christian was like, "Guys, we can't piss off the Jews."
It's always okay to make fun of Muslims.
Yeah, it's okay to make fun of Muslims. Hugely, like, broad brush. There's also a weird, so the African, okay, now, you need to see this movie, or at least watch a clip from it, so you know that I'm not, like, being racist. The African guy, first of all, the Christian preacher and the African guy, who are, like, buddies. They're like buddy, like road trip plot, which makes no fucking sense. The African guy is the most racist character of someone in Africa you've ever seen. He literally talks like this throughout the entire movie, and he is always smiling. He's just the most smiley, like, grinning, worst kind of racial stereotype in the world, and he just wants to go to Disney World. So the movie's super crazy racist.
Okay. Well, that makes sense for a Christian movie.
Yeah. So it opens up on registration, and the kid, like, signs up for the philosophy class, and the very first thing that happens, which I love, is the kid who's registering him goes, "Hey, man, you might want to not take this class because I see you're a Christian." He's like, "Why?" He goes, "Picture lions in the Colosseum," which never fucking happened. But never mind. He goes, "Picture lions in the Colosseum." Great. Awesome. Then we cut away from that. Oh, by the way, got this super smoking hot girlfriend. According to the movie, they've been together for 6 years. When he gets challenged to the debate, she's like, "Hey, don't do that. It's a bad idea." And then when he does it anyway, they break up and we never see her again.
She breaks up with him for doing the debate?
Yeah, for doing the debate, and he breaks up with him. Gone. Never see her again. Just disappears. He's not even that bothered. So we see him register, then New Left magazine, and she doesn't have her life together. She wakes up late. And she goes and does like a jump out interview with the son, not the father, not the homophobic one, but the son from Duck Dynasty. She jumps out at him before church, and she's from the New Left, which is like such a broad paintbrush. Just like, the New Left is what it's called. She jumps out and she's like, "How do you feel about the fact that people are offended by your show because you pray to Jesus?" And it's the worst thing. Also, his wife is there, and she's dressed in like his, like, weird dress. And the girl makes a joke. She goes, "I expect that you would be barefoot and pregnant somewhere." And I'm like, okay, I get it. It's like a rip on, like, liberals all think that all Christians are barefoot and pregnant. But then the woman goes, "I haven't been barefoot and pregnant for a while. I miss that." And you're like, what?
God.
There's a moment where she goes, "I miss being barefoot and pregnant." So it turns the whole thing like, hey, it's good to be barefoot and pregnant. It's fucking horrible. So she's like, "Why are they offended? But they're offended by you praying to Jesus." And then the Duck Dynasty guy is like, "You give up on Jesus, Jesus will give up on you." And then they just walk away. It's
the worst.
Wait,
wait, wait. So is that what we were offended by on the whole Duck Dynasty thing? It wasn't the homophobia or anything? It was the...
Nope. Was praying just... to Jesus.
Praying so to basically Jesus. They crammed a Duck Dynasty cameo in there any way they could.
Literally any way they could. It's the worst. So it's the first day of class. Oh, wait, first, there's an Alzheimer's. There's a lady with Alzheimer's. This is the weirdest subplot. This is a moment that literally, I don't know, this was someone's grandmother that was like, "I want to be in the movie." So we just see this woman, and she's got Alzheimer's, and she's eating lunch, and she goes, "I haven't had chicken for years." And she goes, "When did she have chicken?" She goes, "Oh, she had chicken yesterday." And it's like, oh, sad, she has Alzheimer's. So... the little Alzheimer's lady. Then we get Kevin Sorbo. Now, here's the thing about Kevin Sorbo. For whatever reason, Kevin Sorbo gets really good arguments throughout this movie. Like, they just gave him... So he comes in, first day of class, he has all these atheists listed on the board. He's like, "Can anyone tell me anything these have in common?" And they're like, they're all dead? And he's like, no, Richard Dawkins isn't dead yet. Which was a weird wink to the Christian audience, by the way. There's a moment where he goes, he isn't dead yet. Like, and all the Christians in the audience, all, by the way, I was in Maine. So everyone laughed at that. Like, ha 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 ha, someday he's going to die. And I was like, people are fucking insane. So he's like, oh, don't worry. He's not dead yet. And then he's like, yeah, all these, by the way, if Kevin Sorbo's character had read any of the people that he lists on the board, like Nietzsche or Bertrand Russell or Richard Dawkins, he would have answers for all these questions. But it's fine. He obviously hasn't. He's just listed their names on a board. So he's like, and the kid, of course, has an anxiety attack. He can't do it. He's like, I'm going to do the argument. The girlfriend's like, I break up with you, blah. So first debate. We cut to the first debate. And the kid presents a cosmological argument, right? Mm-hmm. Everything needs a cause. Cause to be cause. God's got to be God. To which a student in the class, here's the amazing thing. They present all the good atheism arguments and then they just ignore them. So student in the class raises her hand. And she's like, hey, according to Richard Dawkins, in The God Delusion, when you say that God created the universe because all things have a cause, I ask who created God. And the kid goes, good question. Well, I would return the question to Richard Dawkins. If the universe created you, who created the universe? And everyone's like, oh. And I'm like, no, what the fuck does that mean?
Let's just back up to before you ask that question.
Right. He's like, you can't talk on a, so it's a ta-ta. So he's just garbage. But then the kid's like, anyways, I'm done. And Kevin Sorbo's character again goes, look, here's Stephen Hawking's thing about the law of gravity. The nature of existence is to exist, not to not exist. This is what Stephen Hawking says. Do you think you're smarter than Stephen Hawking? And there's this amazing moment where the kid doesn't know what to say. He's just like, and then they leave. All the students leave and you're like, oh my God, the kid lost. It's awesome. Then here's the crazy thing, right? At this point, we've really liked Kevin Sorbo's character. Kevin Sorbo's character is just a professor who's like, listen, there's no God. I don't want to talk about it. He would probably be in trouble in a real university setting because you're not allowed to just walk to the front of a class and be like, philosophy 101, God is dead. All right, now, Socrates.
Renounce your faith.
Right, anyways, kill your faith, and now let's learn philosophy. So the weird thing is, after the thing, the professor is clearly one. He walks up to the kid, and he threatens him. He's like, don't you ever challenge me in my classroom. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to get you. And he goes, I see that your major, I looked you up. I see that your major is pre-law. What is pre-law anyways? That's a real line in this movie. What do you, you've never heard? You're a professor. How do you not know what pre-law is? It's insane. So it goes away and the kid has like a montage of like, can I find my way to find the answer? So we cut to the next class and the kid goes, hey, last class, the professor mentioned that Stephen Hawking said that the universe must have a cause. But did you know that Professor John Lennox says blah, 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 blah? He fucking quotes John Lennox.
Who the fuck is John Lennox?
Oh, okay, sorry. For you listeners who don't know, John Lennox is an apologist professor who teaches mathematics. Sorry, used to teach mathematics at Harvard University, but whose wackadoo ideas basically got him kicked out. It's basically like saying, oh, Stephen Hawking says that this must be true, but Ray Comfort, but Dr. Ken Ham says blah.
Doctor. So
John Lennox knows as much about the universe as Annie Lennox, but it's like, it blows Kevin Sorbo's mind. He does this. He goes, Stephen Hawking says the universe wasn't created. Nuh-uh. And everyone in the class is like, oh.
I never thought about it like that before.
So after the class, they all leave, and the professor comes up, and again, Kevin Sorbo, doing a good job, comes up, and he's like, Professor, can I ask you, why are you an atheist? And he gives this great monologue. He's like, when I was 12, I watched my mother die of cancer, and I begged God to save her. And the kid goes, sometimes the answer is no. And he goes, his answer is always no. What kind of God lets a child watch his mother die of cancer? What kind of all-knowing, all-loving God lets his child die of cancer? It's like Shakespeare says. And then he quotes the quote from Shakespeare, you know, it's all sound and fury signifying nothing. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, okay, Problem of Evil. It's a really good and concise, I mean, it's a little emotional, but it's a really good and concise Problem of Evil.
Right, but it also sets up that standard that all atheists were spurned by God to
right,
become
of course.
Atheists.
All the atheists in this movie really don't, they all believe in God, they just hate him.
Uh-huh.
It's not that we don't believe, we just hate him. Anyways, we cut over to liberal McNew Left girl. She finds out she's got cancer. Then we got our wacky preacher and his wacky friend. They can't get the car to work. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Nothing really happening. So the girl, atheism girl, goes and tells her boyfriend. It's literally this. They sit down at dinner. And he's like, I got something to tell you. And she's like, I have something to tell you. I made partner. And she goes, I have cancer. And he goes, this isn't working out. It's literally that.
Oh, wow.
I have cancer. He goes, this isn't working out. We cut to the final class. And the kid's like, the problem of evil. Why God do things, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what the answer is?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you asking me?
Oh, yeah. I want to know what the answer is. Do you know what
because,
the answer to problem of evil is?
Because the evil stuff is good for us.
Yeah, no, no, no. It's not good for us. It's free will.
Oh, Jesus.
Free will. And it's like in the... Oh, by the way, this kid has amazing graphics for everything that he does. He's got like 4D, like amazing 3D graphics. He's got this big thing. He's like, free will. And then he goes, also, if I were to cheat on the midterm, Professor Radisson would probably say that's wrong. But how can anything be wrong if God doesn't exist? And then he puts this quote on the board from Nietzsche that says, if God is dead, anything is possible. And it's just like everyone in the class is like, oh, you got him.
So his answer to Kevin Sorbo's, why would God let my mom die of cancer and make me watch that, is free will. So
yeah.
He wanted Kevin Sorbo to have the free will to watch his mom die of cancer, or
that's
he wanted
it.
Mom to have the free will to have cancer?
Yep, free will to cancer.
Okay, cancer's, all right. Oh. And that's the trumping. Like, who are they, in your mind, who are they trying to convince with this movie?
Nobody. The AV Club put up a really good thing. They said that this is not preaching to the choir. This is a preacher preaching to himself in the mirror. And it's true. They're not going to convince anyone with these arguments.
Uh-huh.
Anyone. And so they have this confrontation moment where he goes, why do you hate God? And he's like, I don't hate God. God's not real. And he's like, why do you hate God? And he's like, I don't hate God. God's not real. And he's like, why do you hate God? And he's like, I do hate God. I hate God. I have nothing but hate for God. And he runs out of the room and the kids are all, they have a Dead Poets Society moment where they're like, God's not dead. They take a vote and he's like, God's not dead. And then they stand up one by one and they're all like, God's not, and they cheer and the kid's like, yeah! And he jumps up in the air and it fucking freeze frames and piece of shit. Horribleness. They're all convinced that God's not dead. And the professor like runs out of the room crying. It's just the stupidest fucking shit. So then here's the thing. Here's the part of the movie that's just here where it goes from absolutely, it's like, yeah, shitty apologetics to bonkers town. Kevin Sorbo's walking through the rain. His Christian girlfriend breaks up with him. He's walking through the rain, and he gets hit by a car. He gets hit by a car on the way to, like, I don't know, find her or just walk through the rain. And the Christian minister and the African friend see it. So they run out of the car, and he's like, the Christian minister bends down, and he's like, hey, man, are you okay? The African guy literally just, like, touches him, and he goes, oh, no. He is going to die. His lungs are filling with blood. He's like, how do you know that? You're a minister. You know, he just like literally touches the guy. He goes, oh, his ribs are cracked. His lungs are filling with blood. He will die soon. So he sits there and he's like, do you take God as your savior? And he's like, I'm an atheist. I'm scared. And he's like, you must accept God as your savior. He's there for you. And he's like, I believe. And then Kevin Sorbo dies.
Oh, God.
Immediately afterwards. Immediately after watching someone get struck by a car and die, the African guy stands up and goes, I quote, today is a good day. Today is a good day. For although there is a moment of suffering in this world, imagine this celebration that goes on in heaven. I wrote this quote. I changed the type to point like 72 font and wrote it like 8 times. Today is a good day. Just watch a man die. And his first reaction isn't like, oh, we should probably call 911. His first reaction is awesome. Today is a good day.
Wow. What a concise explanation of what the hell is wrong with believing in an afterlife.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst. So then they don't get to go to Disney World because there's a Newsboys concert. And the liberal, who's just gotten broken up with, liberal girl, she goes to like do another jump out interview with them. And they're like, hey, why are you being so ne-? She's like, so you guys are Christians. Is it weird that you believe in God? And by the way, the Newsboys, Google image the Newsboys, guys, because they look like garbage. They're 60 years old. They don't belong in a band. They're gross looking. They're all gross looking. It's a weird, they're weird looking people.
Well, let's face it. If they weren't, they'd be doing real
music.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. No one does Christian rock because they did a good job at life. So he's like, they're like, oh yeah. Well, why are you so mad? And she goes, I have cancer. And they all, again, this movie, they all smile and they're like, this gives us a chance to pray. So they all like pray and she's like smiling with them. But like their immediate reaction to I have cancer is not, oh my God, I'm so sorry you have cancer. Oh my, like, are you getting chemo? No talk of that. They're just like, yeah, great. Awesome. Let's pray. It's just the worst. And then they sing a song called God's Not Dead at the end at a giant Christian rock concert. And here's the part that really depressed me. We're going to go into this in a second. But there's this moment at the end, and it's a real Newsboys concert, and they ask everyone to light up their cell phones and text their friends. And they mention it was a real Newsboys concert. They're like, 100,000 people are here tonight. And I got this feeling, the movie was enjoyable, but I got sad. Because I just was like, there have never been 100,000 atheists anywhere except on Earth.
Right.
I was just like, really? Fucking, it was really, if you asked all the atheists to come, if there was a movie called God Is Dead, and there was like a concert, it'd be three guys, and I'm two of them. You know, I just put my coat on a chair next to me. So that's a depressing moment, and then the movie ends, and it's a piece of shit.
All right, so here's my big question. This movie has, like I said, less than one star on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's killing at the box office. The Christians are going to see it. So, like, is this, in your mind, going to, like, just open up the door to why ever bother to make a good movie again if the Christians will go see this shit?
Well, you know, this was the question that a lot of people asked with, like, Passion of the Christ and that kind of stuff. You know, these movies are going to be around. But I think what you're missing, Noah, and this is really important, this movie is amazing for atheism. And here's why. Because what it teaches is that kids all over the country, like in Portland State University, are going to stand up and challenge Peter Boghossian to a debate. And they're going to get fucking corrupt. You know that's going to happen. You know that some poor kid is going to see this movie. He's going to take Boghossian's critical thinking class. And it's going to be like a flash cut. The kid's going to be sitting at home on his bed being like, I didn't even think about any of this stuff. The movie said that he'd be really surprised. And I quoted John Lennox.
When I was 10 years old or so, The Karate Kid came out. So we all came out of that movie thinking we could do the crane technique and kick the hell out of the bullies. So
I said when I walked out of this movie, I said, this movie is like a movie called You Know Karate. About a fat piece of shit like me who doesn't know karate, and he goes to the first day of karate class, and the sensei's like, I'm going to teach you karate. And the kid's like, you know what? I know karate. I challenge you to a fight. And then he beats up the sensei. He's like, you know what? I really realize that karate's inside all of us. We just know karate, you know? It's just like sends a group of kids out into the world just like, you know karate. Don't let anyone tell you you don't. Just kick and punch and use your elbows or something. It's amazing. It's whatever. Listen, this movie basically, and I also read a bunch of Christian reviews of this, and Christwire, which is like a huge publication, was like, do not send your kids to see
this. Yeah, they came out strongly. They had a lot of strong words to say about it.
Yeah. They had a lot and rightly so. Do not set your kids up to have this kind of conversation with atheists. They will lose and they will feel awful. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen all over the country. Kids are going to see God's Not Dead. They're going to go to high school kids are going to go to their science class and be like, God's not dead. And the teacher's going to be like, yeah, well, fossil record. And the kid's going to be like, I don't know what that means. But the Nietzsche quote, have you read Nietzsche? No, I saw a movie. John Lennox? Who the fuck is John Lennox? I don't know. It's all so scary and real. But this is why this movie. So atheists, And Noah, don't despair. I know the thought immediately is this is number five at the box office. It's taken in $75 million as of me Googling it this morning. You know, oh no, we're all lost. No, 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 no. I want God's Not Dead 2. I want God's Not Dead 2, where this kid goes to a class with a competent professor, just someone who's ever heard of those arguments. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. And the professor's like, that's totally fine. Anyways, chapter one. And the kid's like, I challenge you to a debate. No, stop interrupting me. Not allowed to just talk in my class. Have you read any of these authors? Nope, but I've read the Bible. Great. Take an English class. What the fuck are you doing here? I'm telling you, it's so sweet. I want to stand outside of showings of God's Not Dead and be like, convince me! Everybody, here's your chance. I'm a mean old intellectual. I've never heard of any of them arguments. What'd you say about Mr. John Lennox, is it? Because the more people see God's Not Dead, the more people you're going to convert. Because they're going to come to you with these arguments, and you're just going to crush them.
Right on.
You're going to squish them like bugs.
I really appreciate you suffering through that film so that a lot of us wouldn't have to.
Oh, my God. I hate you all. I hate you all so much. This movie gave me stomach cancer and therefore made me a Christian.
Yeah, exactly. It gives us a reason to pray. Awesome, man. Well, thanks again for joining us.
All right. Thanks again.